just across from River Park. Hope you'll come join us. My name is Tim Slack. I'm the voice of the Sunbirds over at Fresno Pacific. Happy to be talking about a lot going on this busy Thursday in March. And want to let you know that we are live at Fashion Furniture, where since 1960, it's been Fresno's largest local family-owned furniture store, just steps away from Sleep Retreat, Fresno's premier mattress store, now celebrating their grand reopening. Come ask for Ryan, and he'll take care of you. Busy day in sports, of course, on the national scene. Major League Baseball has opening day. Then you have the Sweet 16 getting underway in just minutes in Los Angeles. Four games on tap tonight. We'll talk about that. The Easter Classic in Fresno just completed. Clovis North took the crown, and we'll dissect what's going on in the central section. The Diamond Dogs are going to open up a series in Las Vegas tonight. They're taking on UNLV, a three-game series, as Fresno State looks to bounce back after a loss to USC earlier this week. And I always tell you that I bring some of my Sunbird family. Fresno Pacific track and field reaching new heights. I'm going to bring in some of the men's team that is ranked number two in the country in Division II. A big weekend for them at the West Coast Relays over at Buchanan this past weekend, and now they're on their way to Stanford and San Francisco State, so I'm going to have some friends join me for that. Plus, Fresno Pacific baseball will be in action, and so while Fresno State is on the road, you can come check things out Monday and Tuesday after Easter. So a really good day if you're a sports fan. It's Good Friday tomorrow, then Easter Sunday, and plenty going on in the Valley. It's time for our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Weather Report, and a little bit of rain, but it has ceased a little bit now, 65 degrees here in Fresno. Well, in San Diego, it was mostly clear skies, but a little gloom to start the season, despite the Giants getting out to an early lead. They ended up losing to the Padres today 6-4 to start the season. Have no fear. Opening day has not been indicative of who has gone on to win the World Series, although the Texas Rangers won on opening day last year. They beat the Phillies in a high-scoring game, and then that was a little bit different of a team by season's end, and they got a bunch of young guys in there. But of the last five World Series champions, if you're wondering how necessary it is to win on opening day, those teams are just 3-2. Of course, there was a stretch when the Giants won their last title in 2014, where it was important. Five straight World Series winners had won on opening day. But today, a lot of positives to look for from the Giants, but these are going to be games that they will need to win throughout the year and win consistently. But the Padres already have a couple of games under their belt, having played in Korea to open up the season against the Dodgers. We'll also talk about L.A., who looked like they are in mid-season form, pounding the Cardinals today 7-1, and just how tough that NL West is going to be, and really the National League as a whole, to get one of those wild card spots. Four or five teams very confident that they can at least secure a wild card spot, if not their division outright. But today for the Giants, a couple of the new additions looked really good. In particular, Nick Ahmed had a couple of RBI. He got the Giants going after Michael Conforto doubled in that third inning. And then Ahmed was the one to produce the runs. He also got caught up in the seventh inning on the Jung Ho Lee sack fly. Jung Ho Lee looked pretty good, just 1-for-3. Of course, he struck out on three pitches to start the season. But I think that the Giants are going to have a bona fide star on their hands, somebody who hits at the top of the lineup. This is not going to be an offense that scores 7 to 10 runs a game. And I think the one glaring weakness today was just the bullpen. Of course, Luke Jackson had a really tough outing. He ended up getting a loss, didn't get an out. All three base runners he faced scored, and that was in that four-run seventh inning after the Giants had fought back again to take the lead in the seventh on the Jung Ho Lee sack fly. The bullpen seemed like it was hurting today. And so I think with Bob Melvin, it will be interesting to see how quickly he figures out this staff. But Jackson, who I think the Giants were really high on once he finally got healthy last year, just didn't get it done today, and that kind of put the Giants in a tough spot, even going up against an ace like Yu Darvish. One of the things that stood out to me, and be interested to maybe take some thoughts as the days go on, so the Giants get ahead in that third inning on the Ahmed single. Then the Padres come back and immediately put pressure on Logan Webb. They had seemed like they could not figure him out in the early going, and they scored two runs in the fifth. They basically put three guys on immediately, got a run back, and then it was the Giants' defense, which will be vital to the success of this team this year, what the defense does. Tyrone Estrada makes the play. They get the out at the pinch runner at the plate, and that prevented a really big inning, kept the Giants in it, and then in the sixth inning, the Giants kind of struggled after the leadoff walk to Soler. And this is, I think, one of the things to watch with the offense, because it is supposed to be different this year with all of the rotation that they've done and the platooning of guys over the last couple of years with Farhan Zaidi and Gabe Kapler. Now with Bob Melvin and some of those big-ticket signings like Jung Ho Lee, Matt Chapman, they're going to rely on those guys more and rely on those guys even in lefty-lefty matchups or righty-righty matchups. They didn't do that in the sixth inning. They went to Wilmer Flores against the lefty Cosgrove, who had just come in relief of Darvish after that walk to Soler. And Flores struck out. And I think that is something, if it's Flores or Lamont Wade, who Flores was pinch hitting for, that's an interesting platoon. But that's really where the Giants' weakness is, if you're looking at it. Yeah, the bullpen struggled today, but those 3-4-5 hitters, where's the power going to come from? And today it was Wade who started, then Flores the pinch hitter, and then Chapman and Mike Yastrzemski, and that's just not a lot of power. Yastrzemski and Flores combined 0-for-6. Chapman and Wade combined 2-for-6. So 2-for-12 between those three spots in the order, and that's just a vacuum. You had Lee was on once, Jorge Soler was on just once at the top of the lineup, and so that production not quite there. Big day for Michael Conforto, big day at the plate for Nick Ahmed. Are those going to be guys that carry this lineup? Conforto could be. Conforto is a guy with the Mets who hit well, but what the Giants do in the middle of the lineup will be interesting. But I said it last week of what a good job I thought Farhan Zaidi did in this offseason, and this is still a team that's more predicated on pitching and defense than it is on offense, and we'll have to see where that power comes from and what sort of spark that they could give. The Giants still fought back. They scored two runs in that seventh inning. Mentioned another Ahmed RBI hit, and then the Jung Ho Lee sack fly before Ahmed ran into the out on the sack fly that ended the inning. Lee was also picked off after his first major league hit. And so then that kind of set the stage for the bullpen after Logan Webb had gone six innings. Webb ends up getting a tough no decision. And that four-run seventh certainly seemed to tilt the game towards the Padres. Giants really just couldn't get anything done after that. And then Conforto gets the solo homer in the ninth with two outs and nobody on, and that was really it. But Giants had the same amount of hits as the Padres. They made one more error, but really could not capitalize when they needed to. And I looked at that sixth inning, and it seemed like that was the big missed chance for the Giants, the leadoff man aboard, and really couldn't turn momentum and turn the tide. They end up getting a run later on, the two runs in the seventh, but just not enough today from San Francisco, and it'll be interesting to see how they go forward. Logan Webb was fantastic. think the rotation, when you talk about pitching and defense being the strength of this San Francisco team, I really feel like San Francisco has the starting pitchers this year that it will put them in positions like this all year long. And so what can the offense do to really put this team over the top? That's going to be the difference between, hey, maybe 90 wins and a wild card berth, or maybe a sub 500 season, 81-81, and just fighting for the postseason and maybe being on the outside looking in. So it's a crowded division, and of course that starts with the Dodgers. LA jumped on the Cardinals from the beginning. Miles Mikolas lasted just 4 1/3, gave up 5 runs. Dodgers put 2 runs on him on the second, 3 runs in the third, and they were up 5-0 before the fourth inning and looked pretty good. Ryan Yarbrough went the rest of the way, but Tyler Glasnow, he might be the guy. I said this last week with the Dodgers, with no Shohei, with Yamamoto getting hit around by the Padres a little bit, which this Padres team can hit, we'll get to them momentarily, but Glasnow seems to be the ace of this Dodgers team, and I could certainly see him having a great year for LA. 6 innings, 2 hits, just 1 run, struck out 5, walked 1. His thing's been durability, so that will be the issue there for LA, but they feel like they have a bunch of arms that you could kind of rotate through. But here's where the anything under 100 wins is a disappointment for LA. Mookie Betts was just 1-for-2. Of course, it was a home run, but he scored 3 times because he walked twice. And then Shohei Ohtani, in his home debut as a Dodger, was 2-for-3. He also walked. Freddie Freeman, 2-for-3, had a home run as well. Will Smith, 1-for-4, big contract extension there as he signed a 10-year, $140 million deal. So that lineup looked good. Everybody contributed. Really, at least the first, 6 guys in the lineup all had hits. They move the line. You think they don't have a ton of speed. Of course, Mookie Betts does at the top of the lineup. But this is a team that's going to be tough to deal with for every team that they play. And the Dodgers 2-1 to start the year. They get the first win in L.A. as they handled the Cardinals just fine. Was hoping, talking Giants, hoping that Brandon Crawford might make a debut. Saw the former Giants shortstop is the most among active shortstops in terms of opening day starts, but that streak snapped at 12 as he did not start. They started the young prospect Mason Wynn, and the Cardinals' youth going up against the Dodgers' juggernaut. The bottom third of their lineup, all 23 years or younger for the Cardinals. That's what was out there today for St. Louis. And they were combined 0-for-9 between Walker, Scott II, and Wynn. And Paul Goldschmidt actually had the only hits for the Cardinals today. 3 hits, including a home run, that fourth inning homer off of Glasnow. So the Dodgers are clearly the favorites in the NL West, even after maybe the Giants snuck up and made some noise in terms of what the offseason does, but that doesn't necessarily translate to wins. Dodgers and Padres, after splitting that series in Korea, tied atop the division. How interesting are the Padres after watching them continue to hit as they beat the Giants today 6-4? That's an interesting team. Of course, they get to go to their ace for a second time in their first 3 games. That's maybe the one benefit of playing those games in Korea is they got a week off, and so Darvish was able to make his second start already. Michael King threw the second game, the game in which the Dodgers won, and then Ranger Suarez already with 2 saves, including the one today over the Giants. So that's interesting because the Padres, maybe some more under-the-radar moves. They lost their ace, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell, to the Giants. And they look just fine right now. They did throw their international signing, Yuki Matsui, 5'8 lefty, got all three righties out that he faced today in the Giants order, so he's going to be a weapon in that back end. And then Suarez looked really good despite giving up the homer in the ninth to get his second save. So Padres look good, and then the Diamondbacks are the lone team in the mix, you would think, to be left to play tonight. They're playing the Rockies, the defending NL champions. Arizona is got to be the favorites in that one, but they'll be one of the last games today to be in action. And, of course, their big signing with Jordan Montgomery helping fortify that rotation. And that's a now scary rotation as well when you look at some guys who have had some success like Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, who were really good last year. Now you throw in the lefty Montgomery, and the Diamondbacks are going to have a rotation that competes with both the Giants and the Dodgers in the NL West. So four teams, you feel like no more than three out of the division would be able to get a wild card, but with the way the schedule has changed over the years, it could be interesting. Interested to know how Giants fans are feeling. We're going to maybe dive into it a little bit more later. San Francisco loses today to the Padres in the Giants opener in San Diego, 6-4. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals 7-1, and that was really the exact opposite of the type of opening day that the Giants wanted to have. But it is a good day in sports, and happy that baseball is back. Happy you're with us here on Home Field Advantage. We're live at Fashion Furniture. Come down, join me and Joe, have some Me and Ed's Pizza. Going to have some Sunbird family from Fresno Pacific join me coming up momentarily. Plus, plenty to talk about with the Easter Classic tournaments wrapping up yesterday. Of course, spring break going on in high schools around the valley. And then Fresno State opening their series at UNLV tonight. We got that to talk about as well as the Sweet 16 games that just tipped off down in L.A. Arizona and Clemson getting underway. And then out in Boston, San Diego State and UConn playing. We'll talk about that and more coming up. This is 1430 ESPN Fresno. ESPN Fresno, live from Fashion Furniture. This is Home Field Advantage. I'm Tim Slack, where you should come join me. Not only get some Me and Ed's Pizza, but get a chance. I promised an announcement during the Giants game. And if you want to go be at the Giants home opener on April 5th, come down, get some pizza here at Fashion Furniture, and enter to win your chance to be at opening day. We'll have a drawing for Giants tickets, the home opener on April 5th. They're going to play the Padres in a series in San Francisco. And if you want to be there, 1430 ESPN Fresno is a great chance to grab tickets and go down there. So come on down and enter for your chance to win. Got plenty to talk about today outside of the Giants, but do just want to finish up a couple of thoughts, because I told you the winners of the last five World Series were just 3-2 on opening day. For the Giants, you got to know 90 wins and a wild card would be a successful year. Expect this team built around pitching and defense to hit its stride in July. And you're going to be relying on guys with some pressure to perform. Jung-Hoo Lee, Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, all under kind of prove-it deals. Maybe Lee, not so much. But Chapman could opt out at any point when he's successful. So you look at that. And for the Giants, that would be a good goal. 90 wins and a wild card. For the Dodgers, it's a lot different. And they certainly look like one of the favorites to go to the World Series. It'll be a little different outside of the division, though, because I think the Dodgers and the Braves probably have their eyes set on each other across the not only the National League but across the country, as only one of those two teams is going to have a chance, you would think, to fulfill those goals and ambitions. Braves look pretty good on paper, too, as do the Dodgers. So far, the Dodgers coming out strong as they beat the Cardinals today 7-1. Well, it's not only a great time of the year because of baseball opening day, but it is March Madness and the Sweet 16 officially underway. How about number 6 Clemson out in front of Arizona down in L.A., 16-6. Yeah, 16-6, the Tigers leading the Bearcats in the early going. Paul Meadows and I were talking last week in a game, and I think there was like a 23 or 25-3 run right after I had mentioned, I believe it was Colorado State. So still early in that one, midway through the first half with Clemson leading Arizona. A full slate, though, tonight, 4 games between L.A. and Boston. San Diego State having to go all the way out to UConn. Fresno State's Mountain West competitor is the number 5 seed. Found an interesting stat in case you watch that game. That one's going to tip off here in about 10 minutes from Boston. But San Diego State, every time they have gone to the Sweet 16, you know who has won the national championship that year? UConn. And so only one of them is going to advance. San Diego State would like to break that tradition and that streak. The Aztecs, the number 5 seed right now, and then UConn, a number 1 seed, so that game going on. And then the late game in L.A., a couple of teams from the Southeast, not quite the SEC, but the number 4 seed Alabama will take on the number 1 seed Tar Heels from North Carolina. That one will be interesting, tipping off 6:39 Pacific time. And then the final game of the night tips off about 10 minutes after 7. Illinois is the number 3 seed against number 2 Iowa State. So pretty good variation, I would say, of competitors and conferences in terms of represented. You have a couple of teams from the ACC. You have Big Ten team, an SEC team, Big East team, Mountain West team. And so that'll be interesting. A couple of interesting matchups. Obviously, Clemson out to the early lead. That will be one to watch tonight. That is the lowest seed that is playing tonight. Tomorrow, of course, in case you're tuning in, NC State trying to keep their magical run going. The 11 seed Wolfpack is taking on Marquette. That's in Dallas. Gonzaga trying to continue its run against the top-seeded Boilermakers of Purdue. Duke plays Houston, and Creighton, who I told you there's a guy to watch there. One of the assistants is one of the names linked to the Fresno State job, Ryan Miller at Creighton. And they're going to play Tennessee tomorrow night. That's the last game that tips off, 7:09 in Detroit, 7:09 Pacific time, the tip for that one. But March Madness fully underway, and plenty of excitement going on as Major League Baseball opening day coincides with that as well. So 4 games tonight. Be tuned into that. And hope you come down, grab some Me and Ed's Pizza for your chance to win Giants tickets to the home opener against the Padres next Friday, a week from tomorrow. Giants will continue out on the road this week, and then they will be finally home after, 7 games on the road to start the year, and they'll get their home opener against the Padres. So come on out, get your tickets, get some pizza, get your chance to win those tickets anyways, and join us. Coming up next, I'm going to talk to some of my Sunbird family, Garrett Fox from Fresno Pacific Track and Field, making new heights right now. The Buchanan alum is a part of one of the best track and field teams in FPU history. The rankings coming out this week, and FPU's men's track and field team number 2 in all of the country in Division II athletics. And we're going to talk about some of the performances and what they're going to do. They're going to showcase just how good this team is as they're continuing to prepare and qualify for the national championships, which will be in Kansas this year. And a lot of guys helping make that case. So that's coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Live at Fashion Furniture. This is Home Field Advantage. My name's Tim Slack, where you can come out and have some Me and Ed's pizza with us, but also enter for your chance to win those Giants tickets for opening day. Hope you come join us. And joining me now from Fresno Pacific, the men's number 2 in the country track and field team, Garrett Fox, on their way to Stanford and San Francisco State. So thanks for making the detour. I know you got to get your rest, get ready for this weekend. But how are you guys feeling right now?
Oh, we're feeling great. You know, after seeing those national rankings, it's definitely a big motivator, giving us another driving force. And, you know, keep getting out there to those early morning lifts and those late afternoon practices. Just keep on the grind, basically, because everything's been going up to par, but we're just looking to shoot for that higher note, you know, go for that first spot in the country.
It's not a like arbitrary type thing where I've been on polls for basketball or other team sports where you vote based off of, okay, they played this person and they played that team, and so we think that they're better than that team. No, this is how you guys have performed in the first part of the season. You have 8 people on the men's team alone with top 5 marks in the country, and 13 more with top 10 marks. You're one of those. You have been flying to start this season, but when you look at that and you look at it, something that you guys are achieving, it kind of just feels like the start. Is that something you guys have talked about in terms of how much you guys are building for and aiming for when it comes to the postseason?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of our talks that we've been having. It's just the marks we've, like you said, been coming out with have been some big national leading marks. We even look at it at the FPU history type scale. We've been hitting a lot of the top 10 marks, you know, top 3 marks of school history. To have all those marks come together at once in every aspect, like the sprints, distance, middle distance, throws, like we're hitting good marks in every single section of those. So I think that's contributed to a lot of the success that we've been having so far this season.
Talking with Garrett Fox of Fresno Pacific Track, one of the sprinters, a Buchanan High alum. To back up a little bit, and then we'll get into more of what you guys are doing this season and some of the goals, just so people can understand. But you got to race at your alma mater this last weekend. Of course, the weather didn't cooperate, as it got to be a little rainy. But when you're representing Fresno Pacific, how do you explain that to people of just how good this team is that made you want to be a part of this team and stay in town and be able to compete in races like the West Coast Relays?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I saw the girls 4x4 a couple years ago get that national championship mark. So that was really cool. That was really cool to see. I knew how good the coaching staff was here and the success that they've been having. Obviously, it was a big thing that drew me in. But just to have a lot of, like, people with the same mindset of, like, shooting for that top mark and making Fresno, like, a big name in the country is super cool, just to be able to put that in motion.
Well, the place that you're from and then be able to tell other people about it is pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about your coaches. Your sprints coach is Robert Foster, the Fresno State alum, a champion there, a 2-time Olympian. What is it like for people who might wonder what it's like to train with an Olympian? What does he do to you guys that makes you so fast?
You know, a lot of hard work. It's definitely a big step up from training from high school. There's a lot of aerobic work, speed work. Just he really, Coach Foster does a really good job of kind of encapsulating like the whole track deal. Like, you know, as sprinters, you think we do a lot of short distance, but he throws in some lap repeats on us and really kills us out there. And I think that's why we've been doing pretty good so far this season.
This is Home Field Advantage, live from Fashion Furniture. I'm the voice of the Sunbirds, Tim Slack, over at Fresno Pacific, and I always bring my Sunbird family with me. I have one of our Sprinters Garrett Fox joining me, a Buchanan High alum, and just talking about the sights of this team and maybe just some of the performances. We were talking about training with Coach Foster and what you guys do, but one of the things that people always talk to me, even around campus, right, when you see Fresno Pacific track athletes, people say, hey, wait, do you play football? Or do you play basketball? People are just so used to seeing physiques, but remember, Fresno Pacific doesn't have football. What's the most common one you get? What questions do you get about what other sports you play?
I definitely get the football one. I feel like I did a lot of, over the summer and over the fall, some upper body work, so I put on a little bit of weight up there. So football is definitely one of the ones. But we do get a lot of basketball because our team is pretty tall. We got some height on our team too. So, yeah, I'd say that those are the two main ones right there. You hit it on the head on the nail.
If we took the men's track and field team, and I'm thinking specifically some of the throwers too, like Jesse Franco, Chavez Gray, what sport would you guys try and go compete in together?
Oh, football for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Completely rounded out with that.
You got a few guys. Forrest Gray's a multi-sport athlete doing the javelin. You could fight, kind of field a team, right? Mm-hmm. Just got to get enough bodies.
Exactly.
Talk about some of these marks and what you guys have been able to accomplish. One of those guys, right, Shamar Palmer, is putting up some historic numbers in his first year as a Sunbird. You train with him. You run with him. What has he done? Just an older guy for you, has some other experience elsewhere. What has it been like not only – training with him but competing against him, because you guys have gone 1-2 in a lot of events to start the year?
Yeah, it's definitely just one of the best teammates I could ever ask for, just to have someone there and practice. You know, every practice rep really feels like a meet just because of how hard we're pushing each other. You know, our whole sprints group, Caleb Jimenez, Cullen Bates, Xavier Cook, just everyone out there really giving it their all at practice makes the meets kind of a breeze because we're just used to competing at that high of a level together. So I feel like me and Shamar, you said we went 1-2 in a lot of events. It's kind of just like another practice rep for us where we're just trying to push the other one out, and it just so happens to be that we hit a good time and come away with a heat win.
Well, you guys are going to be busy this weekend. The team spread out in the Bay Area, some at San Francisco State, some at Stanford, and so some Division I competition for you guys this week. Stanford, well known for what they put out. What's the expectations of this group? What are you guys going to be talking about in the van ride over to Palo Alto today about what you guys need to accomplish this weekend?
Well, I'd say we're definitely coming off of a high note with the performance at Sac State last week, especially hitting that school record in the 4x4. We're going to try to beat that mark again, have the 4x100 team going, try to improve the school record mark from next year or from last year, and you know, just see what happens from there. Just kind of execute like we have been doing in practice. We've been doing handoffs. We've been doing speed work, just trusting the workouts that Coach Foster has been giving us, and just go out there and have some fun.
Well, you look at it, you guys have certainly been off to a great start this year. FPU men's track and field team, number 2 in the country right now. The first track and field index released over Division II. You guys' relay has done a great job. You mentioned you guys are 7th. In the 4x1, have been great in the 4x4 as well with the top 10 mark. What should people know about this group? Why do people need to pay attention to what you guys are doing right now?
Oh, well, I mean, you just see our marks. We're, like, just getting started, and we know that there's a lot more in the tank. Relays, solo events, everything. We've been hitting some really good times, but the good thing about it is we can watch the film back, talk with coach after, and know that there's a lot more that we can improve on. So to be able to do that with, you know, room to improve, just it's like the world to us. Like, we're gonna have a lot of room to grow with our potential and everything, and just push ourselves to some more national leading marks. So,
well, looking forward to it. Garrett Fox of FPU Track and Field, the Sunbirds headed to Stanford this weekend, and it will be something to watch, as well as San Francisco State. We're going to continue on Home Field Advantage. This is 1430 ESPN Fresno. Come get some Me and Ed's pizza, as well as enter for your chance to win Giants tickets to the home opener on April 5th. We'll keep going when we come back on Home Field Advantage. ESPN Fresno, live from Fashion Furniture. This is Home Field Advantage. Hope you come on out, get some me and Ed's pizza, as well as enter for your chance to win those Giants tickets to the home opener on April 5th. Tim Slack, voice of the Sunbirds over at Fresno Pacific. So glad to be with you. And I tell you, I bring my Sunbird family every time I do this because it's just a great opportunity. But want to introduce two more people to you. Before I do that, reminder that Fashion Furniture since 1960 has been Fresno's largest local family-owned furniture store, just steps away from Sleep Retreat, Fresno's premier mattress store, now celebrating their grand reopening. Come ask for Ryan, and he'll take care of you. Get some of the best in name brands like Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and Serta, all over at Sleep Retreat and that grand reopening. Well, the number two men's track and field team in the country, the Fresno Pacific track and field team, represented now by Shamar Palmer in his first year as a Sunbird, breaking a bunch of records, and then one of the Sunbird standouts from last season on the women's side, already off to a great start this year, Brianna Green. You guys are heading over to Stanford and San Francisco, just hanging out in the Bay Area this weekend, but thanks for joining me. Really appreciate the time. I knew the whole track and field team just showed up, so come get your pizza and hang out. But thanks for joining me, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, certainly excited, Shamar. I know in your first year here, a lot of maybe high expectations for you guys. And so a start with you and what you guys have been able to set out. You look at this team that has had, what, eight top five marks already in the NCAA. I was asking Garrett earlier, but what do you feel like the potential of this group is?
I feel like it's a pretty good group. Like as Coach said, this is one of the best group he has had since in a while. So coming here and being a part of that group, it's a wonderful thing. I just can't wait to like do my best, like breaking the records of the 200 and 400, and I'm putting a team on top in the 4x4, 4x1, and just be the best I can be for this team.
Well, you're already into the top 10 of the record books for Fresno Pacific a couple of times, already some provisional marks. Somebody who's been there knows what it takes, went to Colorado last year for the national track and field meet, the national competition, Brianna Green. Your guys' experience, a group of us went out there last year for the national championships. What have you guys brought back and maybe told now that these rankings are out and even shared with the men's side of what it takes not only just to get there but to excel there?
I think we definitely brought back, like, some experience, and we kind of know what it takes to – like get to nationals and the competition that's at nationals. So I think we kind of bring the experience that we had at nationals and bring like a lot of motivation, encouragement, and yeah, just hyping up our team.
How much cross of this group? You guys came together, if people could see the scene right now, I got like 20 pairs of eyeballs looking at me. I'm not counting very well, but a lot of people together. You guys travel together, you guys train mostly together or somewhat together. What's the crossover like in terms of how you guys push each other?
I feel like we do almost everything together. I know we have two separate practices, but there's still like the girls stay and watch like the guys practice and cheer them on, and like the guys come early and they like cheer on the girls and stuff. So I think from like both groups, we motivate each other and push each other. So it's like just one big like track family.
Shamar, for coming in for the first year, how has this group maybe changed your preparation or changed how you approach the sport?
I love this group. Like, this is one of the best like team I've been on since high school. Every time we even have a race model, they like cheer you on, like they motivate you. Like even the races in a previous meet, you're gonna see them out there cheering for us, and we just like stick together.
Well,
it just pushed me more to like be the best on the track. Just want to make the team like be on a high level. Yeah.
This is Home Field Advantage, live from Fashion Furniture across from River Park. where you come hang out, get some Me and Ed's pizza, as well as enter for your chance to win opening day tickets, the home opener for the Giants next Friday. Joined by Brianna Green and Shamar Palmer of the Fresno Pacific Track and Field team. They're on their way to Stanford and San Francisco for big competitions this weekend, both Friday and Saturday. And Bri, you're from Florida.
Yeah.
Shamar, originally from Jamaica. Can you guys talk about your coach a little bit? You both do sprints for people who don't know. Robert Foster, a Fresno State legend, two-time Olympian. I had Garrett talk about him, but coach wasn't here when that happened. Put you guys on the spot a little bit. The Olympics coming up this year. How many stories do you hear about the Olympics from the 90s?
A lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's
the
best one you've heard?
I honestly don't remember them, but like when I first came here on my visit, I hung out with Foster, and in his office, he has like a picture of himself, and he's like, "Yeah, look, that's me." I was like, "Oh, okay." He likes to show off, but it's funny.
I don't think people would know that though, because you don't get a ton. I think you guys get more, but what maybe wisdom, Shamar, has he imparted? What is it? It felt like training under him.
When I first talked to Foster, like him getting me over here, I kind of did like a background check to see what Coach Foster is. And when I saw him, I was saying like, he has like what he talks about his previous races as an Olympian. I just, in my mind, I just started like saying I'm going to trust him and just seem to like get me to where I want, and I just trust the process.
Well, you guys have certainly been doing that. Talk about the Fresno Pacific track and field teams that have been off to a great start this year, continue to be. Allow you guys to talk about your teammates a little bit. Bri, you're part of both of the women's relays and the 4x1 and the 4x4. This is a historic group, and Garrett was talking about it earlier, that the national championship team from a couple years ago, there's a pride in being associated with that group. And you guys competed well last year at the national championships. But with your teammates this year, you guys have a lot of people who could be a part of it. How are you guys pushing each other right now? And can you explain to people maybe the goals and the ambitions you have this year?
This year, I feel like we have a really good like 4x4 and even like 4x1 relay too. I think both teams have a lot of potential to go to nationals, and it's just a group of like hardworking girls who all of us are trying to like look ahead like at nationals and kind of get each other on board with like, yeah, this is like our end goal. So this is where we want to be at and shoot for at like every meet. And even going to Stanford like this weekend, we've kind of just been like hyping it up and saying this is like a great opportunity for like both of our relays to make like qualifying times.
Well, you guys have certainly been off to a good start. I know it's part of the progression as you guys get qualifying times, provisional qualifying times. You want to keep building. You want to keep running faster as you get closer to May. But, Shamar, you guys are in a great position on the men's side. I've mentioned it a bunch already today. Number two, when it comes to the country, we got a lot of sprinters here in this group. We got some hurdlers as well. But it is a whole team. You look at the throwers, the jumpers. What is it about this group, and how are you guys feeding off each other's across disciplines?
Everybody's doing good right now. I think everybody have the potential to like go to the nationals. Every week somebody does good. As they do good, it just push each other to be at their best each meet, and everybody wants to do good, so we just push off each other to like do good every time we step on the track or on the throws field.
Yeah, it's a different type of atmosphere, so you guys cheered even in the rain. The two times you guys have been in Fresno, Bri, I'll give you the last word. The excitement, not only for this weekend, but for the close of the season as you guys get further. How is this group rallying together, and what is the most exciting part about it?
I think all of us are like really excited just because I think we've all been running like really well and hitting really good marks in like the relays, individuals, and everything. So I think everyone's pretty excited to basically like qualify for nationals and qualify early. So,
well, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. I know you guys are getting on your way to the Bay Area. That's Brianna Green and Shamar Palmer of Fresno Pacific Track and Field. We're continuing on here on Home Field Advantage live at Fashion Furniture, going to 6 o'clock tonight after the Giants opener pushed us back a little bit. They lost 6-4 to the Padres. We'll be talking about that a little bit more in hour number two. Fresno State Baseball will be in action tonight in Las Vegas as the Diamond Dogs open up the series there, and we'll talk a little bit about the Easter Classic Tournament as well. But hope you come down, get some pizza. Still some pizza left, although some of the FPU track and field team taking that away as they get ready to continue their journey to the Bay Area tonight. Wanted to tell you, too, to talk about my Sunbird family. Fresno Pacific Baseball is in town while the Diamond Dogs are away, not on Easter weekend itself, but Monday and Tuesday. If you want to come over to the FPU Diamond on the Fresno Pacific campus, they'll be playing a non-conference series against Biola University. Happens to be my alma mater, beginning at 2 on Friday, or excuse me, on Monday, 2 on Monday, not tomorrow, Monday. And then they'll finish it with a doubleheader beginning at noon on Tuesday. So that's Fresno Pacific Baseball, Fresno Pacific Track, I told you, in action this week as they're going to San Francisco State and then Stanford to compete and just show how good this group really is. And I told you a little bit about what they're doing right now. Mentioned Garrett Fox, Shamar Palmer, Brianna Green. You got some throwers that are pretty impressive as well. Jesse Franco, Chavez Gray, Dejan Milucinic, all names to know. Franco, one of the Kerman grads, and a pretty incredible hammer thrower. Chavez Gray has been fantastic in the discus for FPU. And then Dejan Milucinic is going to have a chance at the national title in the javelin. It's a pretty impressive team, and it's one that's fun. We still got more going on here on Home Field Advantage tonight. Hope you will join us here at Fashion Furniture. And we're hanging out till 6 o'clock tonight on 1430 ESPN Fresno.
You're listening to the home of the San Francisco Giants, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.
ESPN Fresno, live at Fashion Furniture, across from River Park. Fashion Furniture is Fresno's largest local family-owned furniture store, just steps away from Sleep Retreat, Fresno's premier mattress store, now celebrating their grand reopening, carrying great brands like Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and Serta. Come on in, ask for Mike, and come on down to Fashion Furniture, where I think we got a couple more slices of me and Ed's pizza. Of course, we have the chance to win tickets to the Giants home opener on April 5th, so come enter for your chance to do that, and that'll be announced shortly. Tim Slack, the voice of the Sunbirds, appreciate my FPU track and field crew coming out and supporting. Of course, it is a great time of the year. Track and field in full swing, baseball opening day, college baseball going strong right now. The Diamond Dogs, we'll talk about here in just a second, going to open the series up at UNLV. And they're going, what, first pitch in about an hour in Las Vegas. And so we'll take a look at that series. March Madness in full swing. Two games underway right now with Clemson holding a lead at the start of the second half over Arizona. San Diego State trailing UConn midway through the first half. And then two more games tonight, Alabama, North Carolina, in Illinois and Iowa State. But baseball in full swing, and UNLV is the team in the sights of the Diamond Dogs. A little bumpy road after a big win over Air Force last weekend to take the series at Fresno State, but then a loss to USC. Those midweek games have been tough the last couple of weeks for the Dogs, but now they will turn their attention to UNLV, who the Dogs have had good success against. They have won their last six against the Rebels. And the Hustlin' Rebels are going to have their hands full with this Bulldogs team that have won nine straight series. And that's dating back to last year. They've won first six series of the season. Rocco Pepe and Eddie Saldivar have been on fire at the top of the lineup. Two of six guys above 300 for the Bulldogs. Pepe hitting .368, and he has a hitting streak of 18 games. He's reached base safely in 24 straight games. But this is a team that is looking very good, not just in the Mountain West, but nationally. And they continue to throw the ball pretty well. Jack Anker has been really good. And Anker Bill Dixon have been consistent at the top of the rotation and locked in there. So we'll see what Fresno State can do against the Rebels. Jake Dixon has been fantastic. I believe he's starting tomorrow, and then Beal on Saturday, thrown off by the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. But it should be an interesting one with the Rebels, who have started the year just 3-6 in conference play. Fresno State in that four-way tie atop the top of the Mountain West at 6-3 after they took 2 of 3 from the Air Force Falcons. And so it feels important right now. And you look at Major League Baseball opening day, and you can maybe afford to watch a series or two slip away at the beginning of the year as you start to find your rhythm. It's a little bit different in college baseball, especially as you get into the middle and second half of the season. And it will be interesting to see how the Diamond Dogs head to the road against this Hustlin' Rebels team that is still trying to find their footing a little bit. But the overall look for the Bulldogs so far has been solid. Just those midweek games that have seemed to fluctuate a little bit, but you feel like with Ryan Overland knowing that he has that rotation set up for the weekend, they have not budged from that, and that has been a real strength for this team, and it is a reason why they have been so successful in the weekend series to start the year. Rebels did not announce who they're going to be throwing tonight. I'm sure you can find that to start the year. But Fresno State was picked second in the coaches' poll to start the year. Had a couple of coaches thought they might be able to challenge for the crown. They're in that four-way tie with New Mexico, Nevada, and Air Force. San Jose State not off to the start that everybody thought they would be. A team that was really good in the Mountain West last year, just 4-8 so far. They've had some tough losses. And then Fresno State looked really good in that series against them, two weekends ago. But the Diamond Dogs, again, is you look at this series with the Rebels, feel like the goal, again, set not just at maybe the series victory, but maybe squeeze out another win and take sole possession atop the Mountain West standings. And they've been taking 2 of 3 from pretty much everybody so far in Mountain West play, with the San Jose State series and the Air Force series. Of course, they will have the midweek game next week against Bakersfield as they work their way back to this 5-game road trip right in the middle of it right now. And then they will host Nevada on April 5th. A reminder that if you don't want to go there, you could go to the Giants game. All you got to do is come on down to Fashion Furniture and enter for your chance to win. So, interesting series for Fresno State. Told you the home opener for the Giants on Friday. The Dogs will be back in Fresno on April 5th, as well as they'll open up that series with Nevada and then head on the road for five more right after that. So good chance to see them as well. But hustle on down to Fashion Furniture. Talk to you about the Giants as they continue to go back and forth. Opening day, the Giants falling 6-4 to the Padres, who play their third regular season game of the year. And the Giants today, if you missed it, we'll open up the we'll take some calls maybe at the end of the show. But Giants just not enough offense, not enough run-producing hits. Padres got to the bullpen in the seventh inning. That four-run seventh was really it. Padres got to Logan Webb just for two runs in the fifth and momentarily taking the lead. But this new-look Giants team with Bob Melvin managing, certainly some high expectations, higher expectations than a month ago when the team made it to camp. And it'll be interesting to see exactly where they fit. I think everybody feels like that 90-win mark is more than reasonable. I think you talk about missing the playoffs, and then that quickly turns the season a little bit more disappointing. But where do the Diamondbacks and the Padres fit in all of it? The Diamondbacks opening up the season tonight against Colorado. Those are the only two teams in the NL West not to play yet. And that is, I think, the last game of the day. Mariners and Red Sox start about that same time, as do the Guardians and A's. And the A's game, of course, will be on 790 tonight. And so I hope you tune in to that as well. But some late games today. It'll be interesting to see, I think, the Diamondbacks and Padres, though, of how they fit into the mix, because I think the Giants have made some moves with the Dodgers specifically in mind. The Padres, though, I think when everybody forgets about San Diego, they find a way to fit their way in. I don't know that anybody ever considers the Diamondbacks. Even the year that they won the World Series back in 2001, you know, Johnson and Schilling, that was the best tandem in baseball. They have a pretty good pitching staff right now. And how that's going to mess up the supposed ideas in the NL West. You look at those four teams, the Giants, Dodgers, Padres, and Diamondbacks. One of them is going to be sorely disappointed at least. The odds of two of them being disappointed have to be pretty high. And I guess reserve judgment on Arizona just so far, because they have not played yet in the regular season, but they'll play here in a couple of hours. So that'll be interesting. But the Padres, again, going back to when you don't pay attention to San Diego, that has been when that team has seemed to be the most successful. And they still got a deep lineup. Xander Bogaerts brought in last year. Fernando Tatis, of course, the guy that they had planned to build that franchise around, and then Manny Machado, just a consistent all-star over at third base. Yu Darvish looked good. Now, I think the Padres benefiting from getting to run him out for a second time already in their first three games, but they did take advantage of it, and they beat the Giants today at home 6-4. So how the NL West all shakes out, of course, the Dodgers seem to be the clear favorite. They did that well. How much their depth will come into play after Glasnow, what that rotation looks like, that could be the question. Their defense, of course, I think could be questioned a bit as well. But nonetheless, it's going to be an interesting year in the NL West. And maybe the most compelling division. The AL East might have the most World Series hopefuls when you look at Baltimore, who got off to a great start today. The Yankees always feel like they're in the mix. And then Toronto's pretty good as well. Tampa's always seeming to make something out of magic beans. But the NL West, to me, seems to be the one that could fluctuate the most, because while the Dodgers are those clear favorites, the Giants, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, they could all fluctuate between 2 through 4. And I think anybody at 2 is going to be really excited. anybody who's able to win the division, pry the division out of the Dodgers' hands, would be ecstatic. But 3 and 4 might have some hurt feelings, especially if that third team doesn't make the wild card. So it could be interesting, to say the least. I told you it's a great time of the year, a lot going on, whether it's Major League Baseball opening day, whether it's the Diamond Dogs at UNLV tonight, or March Madness in LA and Boston going on right now. Also told you Fresno Pacific Baseball will play Monday and Tuesday against Biola at home. A chance to come see the Sunbirds and a team with plenty of high expectations. We're going to talk to head coach Oscar Hirschhorn coming up next. This is 1430 ESPN Fresno.
Remember when we all got drunk? I ended up with 2 broke thumbs. Oh my God, I felt so dumb. Lucky me.
1430 ESPN Fresno. Tim Slack back at Fashion Furniture across from River Park. One of the best times of the year when you have MLB opening day, NCAA March Madness, and baseball in full swing across the Central Valley, both at the high school level and the collegiate level. And I always like being able to talk to my Sunbird folks and let you know what's going on. A big series coming up, non-conference, as Fresno Pacific Baseball will be at home Monday and Tuesday against Biola, and the head coach of the Fresno Pacific Sunbirds, Oscar Hirschhorn, joining us. Coach, a big series last weekend that you guys won against Concordia, taking 3 out of 4. It feel like you guys are getting back on the right track as you build back towards conference play.
Yeah, I think so. And thanks for having me, Tim.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have a really good team. We just, through the course of the year, we've had bright spots, and then I feel like we've come up short, but we're right there. And this last weekend, I think the last piece of the puzzle was just throwing more strikes, not giving up the free passes. And we eliminated most of that. And then, you know, lo and behold, we win a series because we're going to play good defense. We're going to hit. And we have talented arms. We just needed to throw more strikes, and I thought we did that. And I think that's the last piece of the puzzle. Now we just have to sustain it.
Well, it's certainly a team that's got a bunch of exciting guys. I think one of the things people need to know about your team, though, is a lot of local guys, a lot of guys between Visalia, some transfers from JUCOs in the area as well. But you stretch all over from Madera to Visalia and everywhere in between. What does it mean for you to be a local team and to have these guys be able to play in front of their friends and family pretty consistently?
Well, it's pretty much the philosophy that I've always had since getting the job. We are going to be predominantly local. Our roster is always from Bakersfield to Stockton, pretty much. But I would even say it's probably, like you said, from Visalia, maybe up to Merced is going to be 90% of the roster year in and year out, sometimes higher than that. So, and then once again, I mean, we have some guys from out of the area. We've got some Sacramento guys and a couple Bay Area guys. But for the most part, it's the same as we've always done it. And I think that I'll never change. It's the way it'll be. And there's so many perks to that. One, we just have so much talent in this area, and baseball means so much and always will to this valley. And when you're blessed to be in a location like that, you can get the homegrown guys, and the parents, their family, the kids, the players' families can always come and see the games. I think that's why our attendance is always solid, and it's just perk after perk. It's a really good thing we have with that.
Well, this year when people come out, we're talking to Oscar Hirschhorn of Fresno Pacific Baseball in his 19th season at the helm of the Sunbirds, the program's only head coach in its existence. But when people come out, you know, there's almost like some beauty marks, so to speak, with the construction being going on. But even since the last time we were home, people are going to be surprised to see some of the progress being made as you get the new stands of the Daniel Martin Stadium. But it's been a labor of love for 20 years for you. What is the most exciting part about when you're seeing that progress and being able to show your players what they're going to be playing in when you already have one of the best surfaces in all of Division II?
Yeah, I just think for me, it's just seeing that journey from starting from absolutely zero players, zero facility, cages, mounds, or bullpens, nothing existed. And then to work at it over all these years, and then now to get to this point where we, like you said, we have, I don't know where you could find a better playing field. There's other good ones around, so no knock on anybody and their facilities, but our field is just, I just can't think of some place that's better year in and year out in terms of the field. But then now with the construction project going on, and we'll have a stadium and the locker room and the permanent bathrooms and concession, just to see, to start from nothing and then to have a facility to match the field it's very gratifying. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears literally in that process. I remind my players, these guys are new. They only know what's happening right now, but you have to kind of give some history lessons sometimes and just so they can understand where this came from, and they appreciate it. They really do. But it's been a great process, this construction project, because it's gotten some of the alumni back and in touch, and I've gotten to have conversations with them. And it's just a beautiful thing to go down memory lane with some of those guys and think about where we came from and where we are now.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the history, because you have a lot of history to be proud of at Fresno Pacific with two national championships. But the conference, and people might not know this, but I first met you when I was a student at Biola, when you were starting the program and coming down to L.A. And so it's funny that you know, the Eagles are coming here this weekend. We'll talk about that series. But when the program was NAIA versus now in the NCAA Division II era, you have schools from Hawaii, of course, still some of those same schools that were in the old GSAC with you in the NAIA days. But then you also have some Northern California schools. So you talk about mixing that history and the local players with this venue that you're giving. How does that facility kind of set in for people? How is that going to be an advantage when you're playing in some of these beautiful locations and competing against these schools from Southern California, Northern California, and Hawaii?
Well, I just think it gives us an advantage because, you know, again, starting from zero, we always kind of felt like we were playing catch up and behind. You never want to compare yourself to the bottom of the standing. So you're always looking at, okay, who's the class of the region in whatever level. And then you just chip away and try to work at, obviously putting out the product to be the class in terms of your team and your talent, but also big picture facilities wise. And, you know, that's where the labor of love of having a nice field and a playing surface came in. Okay, so when we started and we finally, after the first two seasons, we were able, the school worked at it. We got the field. Well, then, you know, the decision was, we've got to make this the nicest field. That way we have something to sell and something to attract players and attract the local community to come and see us. And then a few years later, we worked at it, raised the money and built the batting cages. And then, you know, again, you just kind of chip away to, and it's taken, you know, this is, like you said, 19 years. But with the completion of this this facility, that I don't know who's going to have a nicer setup at our level than we do, and it vaults us to the top. And I can't wait to be in that position because it's been a long time and we've not been there. And to be on the other side of it is going to feel great because we definitely worked at it, and a lot of guys came and trusted in me and the school and my coaches. And it was a lot of trust in that. And I owe all my former players so much because they're the reason that this is happening today.
Mm. This is Home Field Advantage live from Fashion Furniture. I'm Tim Slack, the voice of the Sunbirds over at FPU, talking with the head baseball coach at Fresno Pacific, Oscar Hirschhorn, ahead of the Sunbirds series against Biola Monday and Tuesday. A couple of doubleheaders. Invite you out. It's free admission, so you got to come watch these guys. And I want you to talk, Coach, a little bit about these guys. Talk about from, you said, I think, Stockton to Bakersfield and everywhere in between. And I mentioned Visalia. I did that on purpose because I wanted you to talk about Dante Valdez and Andrew Valdez, both from Visalia, off to terrific starts this year. And really at the midway point of the season, they've combined for 15 homers and over 50 RBI. And just what the middle of your lineup is doing and how exciting it is to watch both of them swing the bat right now.
Oh, they've been amazing. And it's been a different journey for both of them, but they're both Visalia high school guys. Dante played at Redwood and Andrew played at El Diamante. And then they both went to COS and we were able to get them, recruit them and get them over here. Andrew has been great all the way through. In fact, without the exceptional year from the kid from Point Loma, I thought he was the player of the year in the conference last year. Point Loma had a first baseman that hit about 100 home runs or something. So without that, though, I think that Andrew would have been the player of the year. He led the league in hitting. He went out to the Northwoods League and was a team MVP or the team MVP up there. He's just been nothing short of phenomenal all the way through and just a high character player. I love him. He's a leader. Awesome. Dante too. Incredible human being. Dante's had a little bit more of a roller coaster. He started out great. And then kind of had some struggles with the swing and miss, and to his credit, he did not give up. And he worked hard through the fall and January, like he always is. His work ethic has always been great and made some adjustments with his hitting. And now all of a sudden he's leading our team in batting average and he's right behind Andrew with home runs. They both have always had power. Dante's always had power, but now he's getting that good solid contact in between the home runs and it's made such a huge difference. Those two guys have been great. They've pretty much been locked in at least the last. Andrew's been locked in the three hole all year. Dante worked his way up from kind of the six hole or so to he's been our cleanup guy for the last couple, two, 3 weeks. And then Trent Maloney is leading off and has led off for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And Gabe Henderson is locked in the two hole for most of the year. Trent Maloney's from Los Banos.
The center of the universe, I'm told.
Yeah, that's right. And then he went to Merced and started at Merced, and then we were able to get him. He went to the Midwest last year, and then we were able to get him this year, and he's been amazing, an amazing player. And Gabe Henderson, interesting story. He's a Sacramento kid, and he was the shortstop as a true freshman last year at Academy of Art. They fold the program, and we were on him immediately because we knew what kind of player and what kind of character he had. So, those four guys at the top of our order, I think that's why we're second in the league in hitting right now. And that's not going to change. We're going to be offensive all year and in large part because of those guys. There's other players, but those four guys have been awesome.
Well, certainly the top of your lineup has been a big part of it. Oscar Hirschhorn, the head coach at Fresno Pacific here on Home Field Advantage. Going to 6 o'clock tonight at Fashion Furniture. Hope you come down, get some pizza, enter for your chance to win those Giants tickets for the home opener on April 5th. I just want to talk, because you said it at the beginning, Coach, of the pitching staff, and as you guys have set in, strike throwing has been vital, and it has been crucial to your success in those 14 wins. Biola is a team that they will take the free pass if you give it to them. What can people watch for when they come out, again, because it's free on Monday and Tuesday to come watch you guys play Biola? What can people watch out for as you guys are making adjustments to the rotation, and what has you excited about those adjustments with this pitching staff?
Well, we're going to start four guys that are going to fill the zone up, and they're all four different styles. Connor Simone has been in the one spot all year long, and he's been fantastic. He pitched at Delta, San Joaquin Delta College. He was in their rotation last year. He was at Delta, went to Kansas, came back to Delta, then he's with us, and he just attacks the strike zone. Big, tall kid, 6'5". And then Jalen Rodriguez, another COS guy, he's we originally was in the bullpen. Very different style of pitcher. Connor's throws a lot of strikes, fastball, slider, change. And he's usually upper 80s, low 90s, that type of a pitcher. Jalen, he's four pitch mix, can throw any pitch anytime. All out of the same slot, so the hitters have a tough time picking him up. And then in the third game, we have Riley Creech. Riley Creech was closing games for us, and we were just he pounds the strike zone, and we were, like I said, having a little trouble with that. So flipped him into the rotation last week, and he was awesome. And then in game four, we'll go with Gino Helmuth. And Gino was in the rotation, but he had some arm stuff. He had some tightness in his forearm, so we had to hold off on him for a couple weeks, but it's good to have him back. He's out of Clovis East High School. And he, in the fall, he was up to 93 or 4, something like that. A lot of cutters. Again, just he's very, very different styles all the way through, and I think that should give us an advantage.
Well, looking forward to it. You guys head into the back half of the season right now. As you look at conference play, how confident are you in what this group is doing, and how excited are you to get back into conference play and start making your move towards the top?
Extremely excited, and we're going to pitch and play defense, and we're going to pitch and play defense, and we just needed to, and we have arm talent. So I think now that we've got guys settled into roles, I feel very optimistic about these guys, because this team is really, really good. We just had to figure out who to get in what role. And now that we have the pitching staff that's going to attack the zone and force the other side to beat us, Our defense is so strong. We're the other side. If we're going to get beat, the other side hit, and that's what you want. And like I said, we're going to score runs. Our offense is not going to slow down. We're a really deep team, so we can handle some injuries and some setbacks. So we need to go on a run, but I'm very optimistic that we're going to get on a run right now.
Head coach Oscar Hirschkorn, we're looking forward to it Monday and Tuesday against Biola, beginning at 2 o'clock Monday, April 1st. Coach, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
Oscar Hirschkorn, always good to talk to him, and glad that we can talk here on Home Field Advantage today a little bit about one of the exciting teams in Fresno that you might not be paying enough attention to. It's free admission the rest of the year with the stadium construction ongoing this year. And then it's going to be a beautiful ballpark that we hope you'll come out and check out. So come see Fresno Pacific Baseball beginning on Monday at the FPU Diamond as they play Biola. Well, a lot to get to still, just a little bit more time to talk about the Fresno Easter Classic that wrapped up last night. You heard Paul Metters on the call, a terrific job that he did, and a really good game at Clovis North opened up in the late innings. And so we'll talk about that. Some final thoughts on Major League Baseball opening day. And one more check at March Madness and the Sweet 16. That's on Home Field Advantage live from Fashion Furniture right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight.
1430 ESPN Fresno. This is Home Field Advantage live from Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Fresno's largest locally owned family furniture store. Steps away from Sleep Retreat, Fresno's premier mattress store, now celebrating their grand reopening, carrying great brands like Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and Serta. Come ask for Mike. He'll take care of you. And this fashion furniture crew, always great, always hospitable. Hope you come down and see them. Got a couple more minutes to enter for your chance to win Giants tickets on April 5th before we call it an evening, going to 6 o'clock tonight on what is a busy day around sports. Diamond Dogs playing at UNLV in about 20 minutes. Opening day saw the Giants lose. The Dodgers, not really their opener. They already did that against the Padres. But the Dodgers beat the Cardinals 7-1. And then the rest of the NL West, which is the Diamondbacks and Rockies, will play tonight. March Madness going on right now. Clemson and Arizona, that's a ball game. As Arizona surged towards the end of the first half, just tied it. And that's an interesting one. And then San Diego State down at halftime to UConn in the first two games of the evening. Two more later on tonight. So it's busy, and it has been busy. Unless you're on spring break right now, of course, there was plenty of baseball this week. What, down at Fowler, down in Visalia, and then, of course, the Fresno High-hosted Easter Classic, and that was a good one as Clovis North beat Clovis 8-1 last night. You heard that here on 1430 with Paul Metters. Wyatt Prieto, the MVP, along with Jaden Hurdle of Clovis North, they were fantastic in the what ended up being a rout, but it was a pretty good game up until late. And Clovis, of course, a lot of high expectations for them, but Clovis North certainly winning and looking good in the whole week and the whole tournament in terms of their undefeated performance. And that's a team now between the Broncos and some of the other teams we've talked about the last couple of weeks in terms of performance. But the Broncos have to be riding high, and it's kind of an obvious statement, but the way that they won, now up to 11-2 after starting the year 1-2 and played some good schools, played Stockdale and Bullard early, but they've kind of gone to the gauntlet and won some tough games, but are starting to open it up a little bit. And talked about Wyatt Prieto and what he did in the tournament. I think he hit nearly 500, was driving in runs, pitched well. And what they allowed just two runs in four games, Clovis North did. Shut out Justin Garza, shut out Frontier. 5-1 win over Red Bluff. And then that Clovis game looked, the championship game last night, looks like the most lopsided of the bunch, but it was close until that sixth inning when the Broncos really opened it up. And certainly a well earned victory for them. So a lot going on. Of course, that Easter Classic, so glad you tuned into that, and hope you will continue to follow the games that Paul Metters has here on 1430 coming up. They did a terrific job with the championship game last night, but a busy week. Want to get your thoughts, and we have a little bit more time, so go ahead and give us a call on the Chicken Shack hotline. 559-320-1430. And let us know, A, what you're watching right now, but opening day thoughts across Major League Baseball. Is 90 wins realistic for the Giants? Are the Dodgers going to run away with the division? Will any of this Shohei scandal pop up and ruin it? Want to get your thoughts tonight before we say goodbye. Got a couple of minutes to hear from you. Give us a call, 320-1430. This Giants team, the one thing I'll say, you look at the bullpen, I think eventually Bob Melvin gets that figured out. That's always kind of a tricky thing. I think Giants fans take it for granted with the way Bruce Bochy handled it over the years, especially in that championship run. But the middle of the lineup for San Francisco, yeah, there was two hits. Lamont Wade, Matt Chapman combined 1 for 6. But Jorge Soler didn't get a hit in his debut. Mike Yastrzemski, who's going to be out on paternity leave after today, was 0 for 4. And so the 2 through 5, really, just kind of unproductive in the middle. Like Jung Hoo Lee's debut, I think there's a lot there. And a guy that probably too early to make Ichiro comparisons in terms of the way he gets on base, but a tough at bat at the top of the lineup. I think Giants fans are really going to like him. I don't know that he's quite as fast as Ichiro was as a rookie when he first came in, but I mean, Ichiro just hit throughout his career. I think every at bat Lee took, that's something that the Giants didn't have last year. Jorge Soler's power that the Giants didn't have last year. Matt Chapman, I think, brings stability at the hot corner. It's just where does the power come from consistently, especially in the middle of the lineup? They had some opportunities, didn't cash a ton of them in, and we'll see. I think the middle of the lineup is probably the biggest Achilles heel. I think the bullpen will sort itself out. And so that'll be something to keep an eye on as well. We'll take one more break. Want to get your thoughts, though, the last couple of minutes before we step aside. 320-1430. Give us a call. This is 1430 ESPN Fresno. Wrapping it up on Home Field Advantage. So glad that you could join us on this incredible March day. My name's Tim Slack here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. Me and Ed's Pizza, Giants tickets where you can still enter to win. Probably got 5-10 minutes if you hustle to come get your name in, get those extra entry in there, and going out and see the Giants on April 5th. What do you think about the Giants right now? A lot of investment over the last month that makes the offseason look a lot better than it felt for the previous two. And certainly interesting, not the result that the Giants would have loved, but Padres kind of already a couple of games under their belt, and Giants bullpen just couldn't hold it late. Give us a call. Chicken Shack Hotline is open, 320-1430. One high school game I forgot to tell you about, one classic, the Fowler Easter Classic. CVC beat Sanger in 9 innings to win their first ever Fowler Easter Classic, 4-3 last night. And again, a lot of Easter baseball, a lot of good Easter baseball in the area. Now everybody on spring break, and Good Friday tomorrow, Easter Sunday in a couple of days, and just a lot going on. I told you the Diamond Dogs will play UNLV tonight, just coming up in a couple of minutes. They open the 3-game series with Easter shifted to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They've been on the road the entire time because they were down at USC on Tuesday, and then they'll be back next week after a Tuesday game in Bakersfield against Cal State. They're going to come back and host Nevada in a 3-game series. But that's not until April 5th. So if you want some college baseball in the meantime, come on out to Fresno Pacific on Monday, where the Sunbirds host Biola. A couple of doubleheaders Monday and Tuesday. 2 and 5 on Monday might be a little easier if you got to work to come out and catch that late one. And then Biola's got a getaway day on Tuesday, get back down to Southern California at 12 and 3. And that's an interesting thing in the Pac West because you don't often play Monday and Tuesday, to say the least, but everybody's spring break was earlier. And so they're missing school days, essentially, to come up and play the series because of Easter weekend and all that stuff. And so that's just the way that it shifts with Division II. How's your bracket looking? Told you tomorrow, if you're paying attention to some of the rumors with the Fresno State job, Creighton is the last game of those in the Sweet 16, as Creighton will play Tennessee. Ryan Miller's a popular name. I think he's one of the only ones that I have seen kind of be floated out there that is still going. But certainly some other teams to be interested in throughout the Sweet 16. The Mountain West represented right now with San Diego State, who is trailing UConn at halftime. I want to say they're in the second half in that one. I mentioned it earlier, but I did think that was a fascinating stat that every time San Diego State gets into the Sweet 16, who wins the national championship? But it is UConn. And so I don't know if you know a Husky fan or how many of them are out here, but this certainly bodes well for them, and they're winning right now. Lower seed Clemson beating Arizona, and then two more games tonight with Alabama and North Carolina going at 6:39, Illinois and Iowa State at 7:09. Well, it has been a joy here on Home Field Advantage. Thanks to everybody who came out. My Sunbird family from the FPU track and field team, as well as Oscar Hirschkorn for calling in. I want to thank Jorge Rodriguez for running the board for us and keeping things going, and everybody at 1430 ESPN for just being so hospitable, and Enrique Loera, Chris Pacheco, Nico Pacheco. Just really appreciate just the opportunity, and it has been a blast today. Full baseball season, full of excitement ahead, right in the middle of March Madness, with plenty of excitement left to go. My name is Tim Slack. Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks to all the folks at Fashion Furniture for hosting. This is Home Field Advantage. Thanks for listening to 1430 ESPN Fresno.